Welcome to Let's Talk About Tests Baby, a weekly podcast about software testing, QA processes, agile, and other general geekery. My name's Jem Hill, and I'll be your host. Hello listeners, I hope you've had a good start to 2016. I started 2016, not literally, but I bought tickets to Test Bash and booked a hotel in the first few days of the new year, so I've had a good start to the new year, and I hope I will see many of you there. I'm very excited to be meeting some people I've been talking to via Slack and Twitter for quite a while now. My first testing conference, I'm very excited, roll on March. This week's episode is going to be first in a sort of three-part series, if you will, about different types of debt. As I've said before, I work in an agency, and I work with clients that have a certain amount of development time each month, and sometimes these are sites that we've built, sometimes they're sites that we've inherited from other agencies and stuff. And so I became very interested in technical debt and strategies around that and just learning about it, because I kind of knew what it was and I'd come across developers refactoring and stuff, but I wanted just to get really down as much as I could into what it is, what causes it, the different types, things like that. So I decided to write three episodes around it. The first one is going to be about technical debt in its purest form, so technical debt in the code. Then I'm going to talk about product design debt and then testing debt the week after that. So first of all, what is technical debt? A technical debt essentially is the consequences for creating a system. So especially during a iterative like a sprint process, shortcuts taken to meet deadlines, and if the time isn't spent to fix them, then that's the technical debt of the sprint. It can cover anything from things being hard-coded when they shouldn't be, tests not being written, documentation not being written, or more inadvertent issues like maybe a lack of experience on the team, or some other factors that mean the system isn't being developed efficiently. So you can split technical debt into a quadrant, because there's prudent and reckless, and then there's deliberate and inadvertent. And that can be anything from, so the prudent is, we'll have to ship, we have to meet the deadline, we'll have to deal with issues as they arise. Reckless being, I don't know, we don't need tests, or something similar. Deliberate is a compromise based on, you know what's going on, you know what you need to do. Inadvertent, shit happens. And while you might be able to point to the cause and go, this is what happened here, this is what we can do to kind of prevent this in the future, or reduce this in the future, the actual debt in the code is what's important for the work that's in front of you right now and something that you need to fix, if you can fix. It's not always something that can be fixed. I got Mark Jones, who I've mentioned before, who's a developer, to look over this before I started recording it for technical correctness, because that is the best kind of correctness. And he said the debt can't always be fixed. Things change, things that seem good at the time to not be what's best. Building flexibility early turns out that it's not needed and that complicates the code unnecessarily, or for speed purposes you don't build that flexibility in and it turns out that you need it to be later. When it comes to this sort of debt, it's the developers that have to sit down and physically fix the debt. They have to restructure the code and rewrite the code, and they're best placed to know about said debt really, well, for the majority of the time anyway. But as someone who isn't a developer but who is part of the team and who does interact with the technical side a bit, what can I do about technical debt? How can I help the team deal with that? Good communication doesn't fix everything, but it helps a lot. And good communication between the members of the team, developers and testers, things like that, it's always good. And if I am aware of any debt that we know we've put into the system, or aware of any difficulties around some of the features that may have led to debt being put into the system, that can help with my testing. For example, if a dev knows they've made a shortcut, then a bug that I come across might not be hugely surprising to them, or future development will be harder to do based on what I found, and that's good information to have. Depending on the product setup, I as a tester may be used as a client or a product owner proxy, and so the inclusion of deliberate technical debt could be based on a decision that I make. So that is something I need to take into account. So if a developer asks me what I should expect from a feature and gives me a couple of options, if they say, we can do X, but it'll take longer, I can do a shortcut and do Y, but we'll have to deal with it down the line, or it's less ideal, but it'll be doable in the time, and there's no shortcuts, there's no hacky solutions to do it, it's fine. Then that, paired with information about where the project is as a whole and what sort of timelines are on, helps form that decision, and we can get the PM involved and go, we might need to push back to the client on this feature not being as ideal as it could be in these timelines because of the timelines they've given us, but it'll be long better in the long run because it won't be hacky. And so that all that information allows us to make an educated call on where exactly the priority is for this project, knowing the client, knowing the stakeholders and all that information. So we've got the project, we've got a feature complete, we've finished the sprint or we finished the project, whichever, and we know there's debt, we have time to fix it. So a developer will refactor the code, which means when they tidy up the code, for want of a better word, it's more efficient, it's neater, it's tidier, it's better. In theory, it doesn't change necessarily anything about the functionality or add anything to the functionality. So it's not adding more features and it's not fixing bugs, it's just fixing the code from a back-end point of view. There's no necessarily results that you can see or that the client can see. So you've got to weigh up those benefits, depending on where the project is. Is the priority going to be fixing bugs or reacting to UAT things coming in from the client, or can you spend time refactoring the code? If you can spend time refactoring the code, as a tester, do I then have time to give it a once-over? Because although in theory not changing anything, sometimes issue might arise. And while you may have automated regression checks on the system, sometimes you might need some manual visual checks or some exploratory testing around the areas that are most at risk of being changed, just so we can double check that the tidying up hasn't inadvertently brought any bugs in. And so that time has got to be taken into account as well. And also I have to know that there's something that's been changed that I need to have a look into. Might also mean documenting some tests, or if you know there's something that might come back and bite us in the future, maybe just make a note of that somewhere central to say, we did this for these reasons. At the time, it was a deliberate educated choice, but you might need to change it. This is what we've done. And that means if, when a different team work on it, there's a basis of development to go from. There's no nasty surprises lurking in the code base. Technical debt is also a nightmare when you're on tight deadlines, especially if you're kind of agile falling or scrum butting clusterfuck, which means testers generally get the stories in one batch 3 days before the end of the sprint, and you're kind of going by the skin of your teeth each time. And so bug fixes that happen in between testing and sprint end, the timeline to get them done and signed off is compressed as well. So everything's compressed, you're more likely to miss things, do shortcuts, all that sort of stuff, which leads to more debt in the system. Not all debt is due to bad decisions or educated decisions made at crunch time. Sometimes it's just a consequence of learning. There's a post that has a quadrant diagram of debt. So you've got the inadvertent, deliberate, reckless, prudent as combinations. And you can have prudent and inadvertent debt, which is what happens when a project is going really well and the team's really good. At the end of the project, the team's learned so much that the work they did at the start of the project, especially on long projects, you know, like 12, 14 months, that kind of a long one, the stuff that you've done at the start, the team looks back and goes, why did we make those decisions? Now, looking back, doing X and Y instead of what we did would have made much more sense. The project would have gone a lot smoother and the project could have launched successfully. And it doesn't make sense to change that now, but if they had to do the same thing again, they'd do it differently. And that's the kind of the best kind of debt to have. Incidentally, there's another kind of debt that we've had where a client wanted a feature which we've built, we're still improving on it, we're narrowing down more and more at once. And then a month after it went live, I think a module came out. It's a Drupal project that gives them the entire function they want out of the box, and we can't go back and undo the 10 months work that we did before the module came out to just put the module in, because that doesn't make any sense. But that module would have saved all the time that we've got now. That's really irritating debt. But yeah, you can make the best decisions of at the time for the project and not expect there to be, like, not expect to be a debt-causing decision, but something will happen, something will change, you'll learn, you'll grow as a team, and you'll realise that what you've done is you've inadvertently put debt in there. And that's because it is impossible to avoid debt. All teams have debt, it's just the type of debt and how much debt and if it's expected or not. Those are the differences between the good teams, the good projects and the bad projects. And sometimes shit just happens. There's a late client request, there's unexpected resource loss. You're going to end up with debt somewhere. It's how you deal with it and how you take it on and how you work in the knowledge that you're going to end up with debt, how you mitigate and reduce debt as much as possible so you're not adding to the pile of debt you inevitably will have, to make sure that you're spending less time refactoring code and more time going forward with the project, bringing new features to the table, things like that. While you will always have technical debt, it is possible for that debt not to be crippling and for you to slowly work your way out of it. And that's what you've got to aim for. And I'm going to wrap it up here for this week. Next week, I'll be back to talk about project design debt or conceptual debt or UX design debt. It's got many different names. So I'll see you next week. Bye.